Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I'm reading from Acts chapter 28. I want to begin reading in verse 8. And it came to pass that the father Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, dysentery, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. I have entitled this message, The Same Old New Story. Now that title is important. The same. I better preach the same message every time I preach. Now, by that I don't mean get out the same outline and use the exact same outline. That is not what that means at all. But there's one message in the Bible, the gospel. And if I don't preach that message in whatever passage I'm dealing with, I failed. Paul said to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it's safe. There's only one message. And if I don't preach that message with regard to whatever I'm preaching, it's not gospel. The same old message. My gospel better be as old as God. It's the eternal gospel. But it's called the same old new message. You see, the gospel comes as news. Always when it comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. New and fresh like you've never heard it before. And it's the same old story, the greatest story ever told. Now I just read a historical narrative about Paul being used by God to heal a man in the island of Malta. And after this healing, many people came and were healed of their diseases. This Isle of Malta is about the third the size of Fayette County. And everyone that was sick came to Paul after this to be healed. Now the Bible is a supernatural book written by God Himself. Peter said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every word in this book was inspired and directed by God for God to have it said just as He would have it said. It is without error. It's a divinely inspired book. Now, if we don't have that, all we have is my opinion, and all we have is your opinion. And we're not going to get anywhere with man's opinion. And if somebody says, well, it's hard for me to believe that God inspired the Bible and that it's without error. Well, it's not hard for you to believe that God created the universe from nothing. Anything else is irrational, illogical, unreasonable. Every man naturally knows. Now, he might put that light out with time, but every man in this world is born knowing that God created the universe. This place didn't come from nothing. Somebody made all this who's all powerful, and nobody made him. He is eternal. Now, if you can believe that, and you do, you can believe that God inspired a book and has preserved it so that his true character can be known and his way of saving sinners can be known. It's not man's opinion. The Bible is God's revelation of himself, his revelation of the good news concerning his Son, who he is and what he accomplished in behalf of sinners. And the Lord Jesus said with regard to the Scriptures, the Scriptures, all of them, they are they which testify of me. So when we go to any passage in the Word of God, any historical narrative, any of the laws, any of the ceremonies, any of the miracles, we know ahead of time that the purpose is to preach the gospel. That's the purpose of everything in the Scripture. It's to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, while the Lord walked on this earth, He performed many miracles. Supernatural miracles. He could control the weather. The disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" He could create matter that had not been in the universe before he created it. He brought food, bread, into existence that was not there. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He could read men's minds. He could raise the dead. He performed miracles that only God could do. And listen to this. These miracles He didn't perform in order to get us to believe who He is. Do you know no one ever believed by seeing a miracle? There were many people who saw His physical miracles that never believed on Him. I think of what the Lord said to the rich man in hell. He said, "Would you send Abraham or Lazarus back to warn my brothers? I've got five brothers and I want you to bring Lazarus back to warn them that they come not to this awful place." And Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And they said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one rose from the dead, they'd hear him." And Abraham said, "They won't hear. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear the one rose from the dead." Now, if I could do miracles before you right now, if I could create matter, if I could turn water into wine, if I could heal the sick, do you know none of you would believe? That never caused anybody to believe. Belief is a reliance on Christ for salvation. It's not just believing in miracle-working power. But these miracles are given to teach us the gospel. I think of where he said to John the Baptist, "Go tell John what you've seen and heard." The deaf hear. The dead are raised. Lepers are cleansed. The blind receive their sight. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Now, while those were physical miracles that took place, this is what happens when God saves a sinner. The deaf hear, you're enabled to hear. You're given sight to see. You're raised from the dead. You're cleansed by what Christ did. These physical miracles are given to illustrate the gospel. Now, in this passage of Scripture I just read, Paul miraculously heals a man who had dysentery that was laid up. He was in a bad shape. And Paul entered in and healed him. Now, if you read the book of Acts, there were many miracles that took place. You know, the Lord gave the apostles the ability to do miracles. Anybody they laid their hands on were also able to do these miracles. They could heal the sick. They spoke in tongues. And understand this, speaking in tongues is not some kind of heavenly gibberish that the charismatics try to make it to be. It's the ability to speak the gospel in other languages. If I have the gift of tongues, I can go into China and preach the gospel in fluent Chinese, having never learned that language. That's what the gift of tongues is. It's not some kind of heavenly gibberish. That's foolishness. It's not what the Bible is talking about. They had the ability to raise the dead, and that's happened several times in the book of Acts. And if you look in the book of Acts, at the first part, much of the dialogue is around Peter healing a man that was born lame. You can read about it in Acts chapter 3, and all kinds of dialogue happens after that. And then in Acts chapter 8, we read where Philip preached the gospel and many people believed, and then they sent the apostles when they heard this. And the apostles laid their hands on these people that believed, and the Holy Ghost was given them to be able to perform these miracles. And there was a man by the name of Simon Magus who saw when the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given. He offered money. See, here's the point. This gift was only transferred by the laying on of the apostles' hands. It died out in the early church after we were given the full canon of Scripture. And the Acts chapter 8 points out clearly that it was only through the laying on of the apostles' hands that there was given these gifts to perform miracles. And then we go on in Acts chapter 13. Paul healed a leper. Or a cripple in Lystra. There are so many other... In Acts chapter 9, Peter raised somebody from the dead. In Acts chapter 19, we read of handkerchiefs being brought by that had touched the Apostle Paul that would heal the sick. In Acts chapter 20, he rose somebody from the dead. And then in the first of this chapter, a viper, a poisonous snake, bit him, and it didn't harm him, just like the Lord said it would be that way. And then this healing of Publius. Now, this miraculous healing is given to teach us the gospel. That is the purpose of this miraculous healing. Now, the first thing that I would notice of this man, Publius, he mirrors you and I by nature. He had a fever brought on by an infection within. Now, we know it was dysentery. And that bloody flux is literally bloody diarrhea. And the fever is the outward manifestation of an inward problem. Now listen real carefully. My problem and your problem is on the inside. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside. It's not what you do. It's what you are. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Here's God's testimony with regard to me and you. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's God's description of me and you. The problem is on the inside. The wrong things that are done on the outside are a product of what we are on the inside. That fever and that bloody flux was a manifestation of that problem on the inside. Now, our hearts are a congenital heart disease. We were born with these sinful hearts. Because when Adam sinned, we sinned in him. When Adam died, we died in him. And we're born into this world, as Paul describes, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the mind we were born with, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And it's pointed out about this man that he lay with the fever and the bloody flux. He was completely disabled by this fever and this bloody flux, this infection from within. He lay. He was helpless. He couldn't do anything for himself. Now, what that is teaching is the illustration that not only are we totally sinful, we are totally unable to do anything about it. In John chapter 6, verse 44, the Lord said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And you have not come to Christ till you have found out you can't. It's only when you find out you can't. That's when you've seen who God is and you've seen who you are. You find out you can't. That's when you cry for mercy. But he lay totally depraved. That means every faculty, my conscience, my will, my affections, they're controlled by sin. I'm under the dominion of sin. That's what total depravity means. Total inability. I can't do anything to save myself. I'm lay. Like Publius, the man, he was lay with this fever. He couldn't do anything about it. He was incapacitated. He was unable. That describes every sinner. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Is what I'm saying what the Scripture teaches? Does the Scripture really teach that man is that bad? That I am that bad? That you are that bad? There is none righteous. I'm quoting Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, which is a quotation from Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Listen to this. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, my first question, am I giving what the Bible teaches? But here's the second question, and this is just as important. Do you believe that's true with regard to you? I'm not even asking you now if you agree with the Bible teaches it, because if you read the Bible, you'll have to agree with that. But do you believe I have just described you? Are you that bad? The answer is, to me and to you, yes, we are. Here the man lays, and he has a bloody flux. That means everything he does is sin. Our righteousnesses, the Scripture says, are as filthy rags. Now that's the condition of this man. He's got a problem on the inside that manifests itself on the outside, and he is completely disabled because of this. Now, if that's all I had to say, it would be pretty depressing. But we read that Paul entered in. We don't read where this man asked for anything, but Paul entered in. This is when things began to get better. When Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Paul entered in. Now this man was not healed because Paul entered in. Paul was just the instrument of God entering in by his grace. That's when things got better for him, when the Lord crossed his path. I think of the Good Samaritan who came to the man half dead, and he came to him where he was. And that's what God does with the sinner. He comes to him where he is, in this state of depravity and inability, laying there without the ability to do anything about it. Then God comes. Moreover, the law entered that sin might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace to the rescue. Grace comes along. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now Paul entered this. Remember, this is given to teach us the gospel, not just to impress us with a miracle, but to give us an illustration of the gospel. Paul entered, and what did he do? He prayed. Scripture says, and prayed. Now, what is this thing of prayer? When you pray, you're asking God to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. When you pray to God for Him to do only what He can do, and you cannot do it. And this prayer speaks of God's use of means. God's use of means. Now, I've heard people say, well, God can save with means or without means. You know that's not so? Let me tell you why. If you're a sinner, could God make you just without the death of His Son? The answer is no. If you're a sinner, the only way you can be just is for Christ to die for your sins and give you His righteousness and make you just before God. That's the only way that that can be done. So when somebody says, well, God can save with means or without means, you're saying God could save without the death of His Son. No, for me to be saved, He couldn't save Himself. God always uses means. And if you're saved, somebody prayed for you. Now, their prayer didn't save you. God saved you. But He moved somebody to pray for you. Paul entered in, and he prayed, and then it says that Paul laid his hands on him. Now, this thing of the laying on of hands has to do with the Old Testament gospel, which is the same thing as the New Testament gospel. But in the Old Testament gospel, the great high priest on the Day of Atonement would come in and lay his hands on what is called the scapegoat. The sin offering, the first goat, would be killed. Christ had to be killed. But there was another goat used called the scapegoat. You can read about this in Leviticus chapter 16. And the priest would come and lay his hands on the head of the goat. And all of the sins of Israel would be typically transferred to that goat. And my dear friends, this is how sinners are saved. God doesn't just snap His fingers and then they're saved. No, their sins were transferred, and this is God's work. He did this. He lifted their sins off of them, and He put them on His Son, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. He bore my sin. There was the actual transfer of guilt. He bore my sin and put it away, and His righteousness becomes mine. That's how I am healed. By whose stripes you were healed. And what happened through this symbolic laying on of hands? Paul entered and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. You see, God doesn't try to heal. God heals. By whose stripes you were healed. And before God, I have no sin. My sin was transferred to Christ. His righteousness was made mine. And I am healed before God. Now look what it says next. Verse 9. So when this was done, this man who had been laid, disabled by this dysentery, couldn't do anything. Paul enters in. Paul prays for him. Paul lays his hands on him. And he's healed. What happened? Verse 9, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Who came? Those who had diseases. Those who were sinners is what this represents. Do you know everybody that's a sinner will come to Christ? If you don't come to Christ, it's because you don't really believe you're a sinner. If you're a sinner, you will come to Christ. And He will heal you. Who came? All those who had disease. Luke 9:11 says He healed them that had need of healing. That's who's healed. Those who have need of healing. Those who need saved from their sins. Listen, my disease is sin. I've had cancer twice. Lord, preserve me. And He could have taken my life, but He didn't. But I tell you, the disease I need healed from is not cancer, it's sin. I need to be clean before God. And that's what He does. Now, what did these people do in verse 10? Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laid us with such things as were necessary. Now, what did these people do? They honored Paul with many honors, but it wasn't Paul who was to be honored. It was Paul's Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when somebody is healed, they're going to honor the Lord with many honors. Crown Him with many crowns. The Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but His own. We honor Him. He gets all the honor in our salvation. He gets all the honor. All glory goes to Him. And next it says that they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now what this is talking about is necessary to get to Rome. They gave them all that was needed for them to get to Rome. But we laid Christ. If He heals us, we laid Christ with what is necessary. What's necessary? He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. And the reason He gets all the glory is because He deserves all the glory. Not only does He deserve all the glory, I want it to be that way because if He doesn't get all the glory, that means something's expected out of me to save myself. And that's a burden I don't want. No, we look to Him only and see Him as laden that which is necessary to Him. We give Him all the glory in salvation. And we love to have it so. Now remember, these miracles, every one of them, are given to teach us of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have this message on DVD, CD. If you call the church, write, email, or look at the church website, you can get a copy there. This is Todd Neibert, praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.neibert@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church.